So, so happy you're here. But Dustin Jett and Samantha Jett are on staff at a great church in Oklahoma City. We went there last year or a year ago, I think, in summer to do a missions trip. A great church. And they've been there. I don't know how many years y'all been there, Pastor Dustin. 8 years. But Dustin is from our home church and part of our family since he was born. His dad and me were good friends, very close friends. And Teresa is the one that invited Melissa to go to youth camp when she was 16, where she got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, because God knew she would need it, because she's coming home to marry me. But that's our story. It's way more than that. It's way more than that. You'd love to get to meet them after church. But they lead worship. They preach. They have beautiful children. They want to show them off today. But he's anointed and gifted in the singing and worship. He's anointed and gifted in preaching. But he's our family, him and Samantha. We love you, Dustin. Come up here and preach the word. Let's welcome Dustin Jett. God bless you guys. He's going to sing some. He's going to preach some. You're going to really enjoy it. One more time for Dustin. God bless you.
Well, I am just so blessed to be here today. Thank you all for having us, my wife Samantha, and the entire family. Just feel so honored to be here. I want to thank Uncle Ronnie publicly. You know, he's one of my mentors, and that's a term and a word I don't throw out loosely. I can tell you in ministry, you sometimes face tough times, and it's good to talk to men and women that's been there and done that. And Uncle Ronnie and Aunt Melissa, they're both mentors to Samantha and I, and we couldn't be more grateful for them. I was thinking recently, last time I came here, I believe, Uncle Ronnie had me as a guest in 2015. I can't believe that's almost 10 years ago. And so I sang a few songs and preached then. But back then I was a single man, and that was before I was actually a part of the family. I want to tell you, the Lord's done a whole lot since then. My wife, Samantha, and I, we have three kids, two girls, one boy, and we actually have another boy on the way. Thanks be to God. And my quiver's full, and we're right now we're figuring out how to stop making this happen. You know, I feel like David, amen. The Lord is, my cup is overflowing, amen. But as Uncle Ronnie said, we're currently serving in Oklahoma City. How many of you know there's nothing like living in the will of the Lord? Amen. And we're so content and faithful and just honored to serve the Lord in such a time as this. So they asked me to sing a couple songs, and I was thinking, man, what's a good worship song that everybody likes? And I started thinking about the goodness of God. And I don't care how old you are, where you come from, everybody I found likes this song. And I had no idea. Pastor Ronnie mentioned that we were Olivia's wedding was on Friday, and one of the most beautiful worship moments I've ever witnessed at a wedding. It was right after the bride and groom and the parents of the bride and groom, they took communion. They came back to the center of the stage, and they said, would everybody stand? And could we just finish out this song and sing the goodness of God? And I can tell you there wasn't a dry eye in the place. And I've sang this song at funerals as well, when people were celebrating the lives of their loved ones. How many know the Bible says in Psalms 100, for the Lord is good. How many know the Lord is good this morning? And his love endures. And I'm so thankful that his faithfulness endures through all generations. Are you thankful for that this morning? I would like to ask you just one more time, if you would, could we stand to our feet and all just love on Jesus this morning and sing this old song, The Goodness of God. Hallelujah. If you know it, let's sing it.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy. For your mercy never fails me. All my days, I've been held in your hand.
From the moment
that I wake up till I lay my head.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, I will sing the goodness of God.
If he's been good to you, come on, lift your head and sing it now.
For all my life you have been faithful.
You've been faithful, Jesus, yeah.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I have made, oh, I will sing the goodness of God.
I love your voice.
I love your voice.
Sing that with me. You've led me.
You have led me to the fire.
In darkness night.
Darkness night. You are closer like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, come on, church.
Oh, sing it like you mean it. In all my life, you have been faithful.
You've been faithful to me, God.
Yeah. In all my life, you have been so, so good. And every breath that I am
able, oh, say I will sing
of the goodness of God.
Come on,
declare it this morning. Your goodness is running out. It's running out. Oh, I believe it in my heart. Say your goodness is running out. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me.
Come on. Declare this over your life.
Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Your goodness is running after me, is running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me, it's running after me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we worship you this morning. Come on, sing. All my life, sing that.
Cause all my life,
come on, congregation, join together. Lift your voice. Let me hear you sing that. Come on. All my life, say, because all my life. You may be seated this morning. I want to sing one more to you if I could. If I could tell you a story. My wife Samantha and I, our youngest daughter, Addie, she just turned 3 years old. And over the last probably several months, she's kind of been in a habit of waking up in the middle of the night. And she wants to jump in bed with mama and daddy. And we let her do it. Because how many of you know they don't stay young long? Amen. And so I said, you know what? That's okay with me. And I was thinking one night, whenever she was laying in the middle of us. And half the time when she's laying in our bed, she's knocking me off the bed, praise the Lord. She's all up in my space, and I usually wake up with a crick in my neck the next day. But again, there's nothing like a father's love, amen. But anyway, I had the thought, I was like, you know what? This girl ain't worried about a thing in the world laying in between mom and daddy. She's not afraid of the boogeyman. She's not afraid of what's in her closet. She doesn't have a care in the world. Why is that? Because she knows that she's safe in the arms of mama and daddy. And I started thinking, I'm like, you know what? That's kind of like what it is to be a Christian. You know what the mindset of a Christian is like? I'm not really worried about it. No matter what comes my way, I'm not going to. How many know he hasn't given us the spirit of fear? It doesn't matter what comes my way. I know I'm going to get through. Why? Because I know who's on my side. And this next song I'm going to sing was written by Dottie Rambo. She's one of the great songwriters of the 20th century, Sheltered in the Arms of God. Some of you may recognize this song. I wanted to read a scripture before I sing this song. Now, I want to let you guys know this is not a part of my sermon. This is a little land yap. Anybody know what land yap is? That means a little something extra. That's a Louisiana term. One time when I was preaching, I said that to those Oklahoma folks, and they looked at me like I was crazy. They had no idea what I was talking about when I said land yap. This is just a little something extra, but the Lord led me to this scripture, Psalms 91. I want to read you a few verses. We're talking about we don't have to live in fear. We have to be reminded as Christians whose we are and who we belong to. Because I think a trick of the devil, he wants us to live in fear and he wants us to live in worry. But Jesus told us multiple times in the scripture, do not worry. We have to remember we are in his care. The words of Psalms 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely, everybody say with me, surely, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He will cover you with the feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. I said, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. But you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you all in your ways. I want you to be reminded this morning, my friends and family of God, that you are in his care. And how many know that God takes good care of his children? Amen. Worship with me as I sing this old song this morning.
The dark clouds arise, they won't worry.
shall walk with me. Before I share. Then I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven. Forever sheltered in the arms of God. If you know it, sing it with me. So let the storms they try, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not of earth shall harm.
I want you to remember that, my friends, that no matter what comes your way, you're sheltered in His hands, and He's going to take good care of you, and we don't have a reason to live in fear. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to ask you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would. I want to read to you a text that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading from the New King James Version. I want to read a couple of verses beginning with verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. The Word of God says this: Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy them. For the temple of God is holy. Everybody say holy. Which temple you are. Let me read from the New Life Version. The Word of God says this: Do you not know that you are a house of God? Everybody say house of God. You are a house of God, and that the Holy Spirit lives in you. If any man destroy the house of God, God will destroy him. For God's house is holy. You are the place. You and I are the place where He lives. My sermon title this morning is Housing the Anointing. Housing the Anointing. And I began to think of this old course. The course is Anointing Fall on Me. It's a petition to God. It's us asking God, Lord, would Your anointing fall on me? Some of you may know this song. It's an easy one to learn. I've asked the worship team to help me. How many of you would say that Chrissy and Taylor and the rest of this band does a pretty good job? Come on, give them a hand. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. This guy Taylor could play the guitar. Man, he sure is good. And I tried to ask him if he wanted to come to Oklahoma City. He said no. But anyway, man, all these ladies and gents, they're doing a good job. But sing this song with me. And if you don't know it, I want you to learn it. It's really easy to learn. Let this be our heart's posture this morning. Are you ready? Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall.
Let the power say, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall.
That's all it is. Come on, sing it one more time. Anointing.
Anointing fall on this guy. Fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall.
One more time. Would you lift your hands to heaven and just ask the Lord this morning?
Anoint. Oh, let it fall. Fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall.
Sing that last line a couple times. Anointing fall.
Anointing fall.
Oh, come on, anointing fall.
Anointing fall.
One more time. Sing it, congregation. Say, anointing fall on me. Come on. One more time.
Anointing fall this morning, say, anointing fall on.
Give the Lord praise this morning. Praise God, praise God. As I get into the message this morning, how many know there's many things that the Holy Spirit does for us as Christians? One of the things that He does for us is He anoints us. Everybody say anoints. He anoints us to carry out what God has created us to do. What is the anointing? I'll tell you this morning, the anointing is the bridge between heaven and earth. It's when the Holy Spirit begins to flow in you. It's when the Holy Spirit begins to work through you, and He divinely enables you to accomplish your purpose on earth. How many of you know this morning that you have a purpose? Every person, every man, woman, boy, and girl has a purpose, a divine purpose from heaven. And who is the anointing for? I think it's a misconception in the body of Christ that the anointing is only for those in ministry. Some people think the anointing is only for the preacher and the singers. Amen. But how many know the anointing is for every believer? Amen. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, John is not writing to just the priest. John is writing to all believers, and what does he say? He says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I want to tell you this morning, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is for you today. Amen. God has anointed some in the body of Christ for vocational ministry. I mean, you know, but God has anointed some in the body of Christ for business. Amen. God has anointed some to teach in the classroom. God has anointed some for politics. How many would you say this morning that we need men and women in the government, Christian men and women of God in the government? Amen. The anointing is for every believer. And I want to tell you this morning, I pray with all of my heart that you are living with the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life. I have good news for you. If you're not, you can. Amen. This morning, I want to answer three questions. The three questions I want to answer is this. Number one, what is housing the anointing? Number two, why should I house the anointing? And number three, in the closing minutes of this morning's message, I want to answer this question. How can I house the anointing? The first question I like to answer is this. What is housing the anointing? Simply put, housing the anointing is creating a place for the Holy Spirit to live. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I want to tell you this morning, I have a Louisiana education. It got to be simple or I won't understand it. Amen. Some people say Louisiana is 50 out of 50 in just about everything. Amen. That's not really true. Samantha reminded me that the Speaker of the House is from Louisiana. Amen. That's something we're proud of down there in Louisiana. You know, I tell people that God called me up north to Oklahoma. That's a joke. Some people think Oklahoma is the South, but that's not, it's not really the South. It's kind of the Midwest. You know what I mean? But us folks from Louisiana, we know all about the South. Anyway, back to the sermon. In the Old Testament, I want to say this. In the Old Testament, there was the tabernacle of Moses, and there was the temple in Jerusalem. And we read in the Bible about the holies of holies. Some of you know about that. It was holy and sacred. Why? It's because it was the place for the manifestation of God's presence. The Bible tells us that only the priest was permitted to pass beyond the veil each year. And because of sin, there was a great divide. I said because of sin, there was a great divide between God and man. In the Old Testament, we read that there was man's dwelling place and that there was God's dwelling place. I said the way it used to be, there was man's dwelling place and there was God's dwelling place. There was a veil of separation, if you please. But in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, the Bible says, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. So the very next verse, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, the next verse after Jesus died, you know what the Bible says? The first occurrence, the very first happening, the Bible says, and then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. I want to tell you this morning, I've come with good news. Because of Jesus, there is no more separation. Because of Jesus, there is no more veil of separation. Because of Jesus, what he's done for us on Calvary, the veil was torn up. God moved out, the Bible says, never again to dwell in the temple made with human hands. So the question is, okay, well, where does he live? That's the question we need to answer this morning. Where does he live? I want to tell you this morning, I've come to say you and I are the place where he lives. What a privilege, my friends, that we have to host the very Spirit of God. I want to ask you a question. If you could host anyone in your home, who would it be? It could be your favorite athlete, your favorite politician, your favorite actor, actress, whatever the case. If you could host, just think about it. Now, you're not going to have to give an answer. I'm just saying, just think about it. If you have it in your mind, one person you could host in your home in all the world, who would it be? Okay. What measures would we take to make sure our homes were prepared for their arrival, right? I want to tell you, we would make sure our house was spotless. Why is that? Because we want to make sure it's a place that they would be pleased to be welcomed in. I have a good feeling there's some folks in Springfield, Missouri that know all about hospitality, amen? But I want to tell you this morning that you and I have the opportunity and a privilege to host the very Spirit of God. What an opportunity and what a privilege do we have? How many of you would say this morning that sometimes it can be a challenge to make sure your house is clean at all times? And I don't know if any of you here this morning that are in the same season that my wife and I are in. But we have little kids. We have a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 10-month-old, and we have one on the way. And I want to tell you this morning, it can be a challenge to keep a clean house. Crumbs under the table. You guys understand me and my wife, man, we could clean the house. And 5 minutes later, praise God, there's toys all over the place. It's constant upkeep, sweeping, dusting, vacuuming, the whole nine yards. It can be a challenge. It requires regular maintenance, regular upkeep. It's a never-ending process. I want to tell us this morning this, just as it takes regular maintenance to take care of our homes in the natural, it also takes regular maintenance to ensure our spiritual house is a comfortable environment for the Holy Spirit to dwell. When the Holy Spirit is living in your heart, when the Holy Spirit is living in your spiritual house, how many of you know if there's anything that's in there that isn't pleasing to him, what's going to happen? We're going to experience this thing called conviction. Why is that? Because there's something going on in your spiritual home that doesn't please the very Spirit of God. How many know that there's certain things as Christians we can't do that the world does? Why is that? Because there's a difference. Amen. There's certain things that we can't say There's certain places we can't go. There's certain things we can't take part in. There's a difference. What's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. The difference is we're hosting the Spirit of God in our temple, and He lives inside of us. Amen. You know, most of our family live in Louisiana. So pretty frequently, my wife and I, we have family coming up to visit us. And there's quite a few things, my brother, that have to take place before they get there. Sheets have to be washed. Dishes have to be done. Get everything prepared. What time are they going to get here? Usually, you know, they're driving all day, so they're getting here at 7 o'clock. And my wife and I, we got to hurry up. We're telling the kids, come on, Gammy and Poppy's, they're on their way. We got to get ready. We got to make sure the house is prepared. We got to make sure everything's ready for their arrival. Why? Because they're on their way. And then guess what? We have a good time. And we have fun. We do different things. And a few days later, guess what? They leave. And then it's kind of like, man, that was good. But let's kick our feet up for a little bit. Let's relax. And let's have a little kind of a time of just let's breathe. And why is that? Because they're gone. Because they're away. Now we can just kind of relax. But I started thinking it's not like that with housing the anointing. I mean, no, housing the anointing is not an on and off thing. Housing the anointing is not a come and go thing. I used to think, Uncle Ronnie, that the anointing, I only needed the anointing to sing and preach. And God's beginning to slowly show me that I need the anointing for phone conversations, and I need the anointing for meetings, and I need the anointing for parenting. And God's showing me it's not a come and go thing. Properly housing the anointing is something that we do each and every day. Housing the anointing is learning to live every hour, every minute in such a way that welcomes the Holy Spirit. Not once a week, not just on Sunday morning, not just when we do the big things, but every day having the heart posture that says, God, I want to create an environment in my heart that you would be pleased to live in. What is housing the anointing? Housing the anointing is simply doing that. God, I want to create an environment in my heart that you would be pleased to live in. I want to tell you this morning, if there's nothing else that you remember, I pray that you will remember this. The anointing on your life flows out of welcoming the Holy Spirit in your heart. Say, I want to be anointed. I want God to use my hands. I want God to use my voice. I want to do great things for God. Welcome the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life. And that's what this whole thing's about. You know, we should say, you know what, God, this is your temple. I'm yours. Take your liberty. Take your liberty, God. Do whatever you want to do in me. This is your house. This is your temple. Oh, you don't like where that is? Go ahead and just move it over there, Lord. You want to rearrange certain things? You want to change something about me? Is there something about my heart, something about my life, something you want to change? You go ahead and change it. There's nothing swept under the rug, you know, nothing hidden in the closet. God, you got it all. It's all yours. Amen. Properly housing the anointing and say, God, here I am. Do what you want to do with me. Use me however you see fit. Rearrange, change, fix. God, you're the potter. I'm the clay. You do what you want to do. You know, that our text says that God's house is holy. We are to be holy because he is holy. You know, the word of God says without holiness, no man will see God. I want to tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit does not work in an unholy vessel. Why is that? Because he is holy. This morning, I want to challenge you to search your heart and to make sure it is a place that the Holy Spirit would be pleased to live in. My second question I'd like to answer this morning is this. Why should I house the anointing? I want to tell you this morning, if you're here, and you say, I want to make an impact. I want to make a difference. I want to do great things for God. I want to win this world for Jesus. I want you to hear this next point. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I think I just want to, I don't really want to say anything. I don't really want to do anything. I want to make sure nobody's offended. My only goal is just to get to heaven. That's the only thing I want to cop. This message may not be for you this morning, but I got a good feeling that there's some folks that really want to make a difference, that really want to leave their mark, that really want to be a voice for Jesus in this world of darkness. I want you to remember this, my friend. The anointing of God on your life makes the difference. The anointing is simply to help you accomplish your God-given purpose. The anointing is to help you accomplish what you were created for. God has created some to teach, some to build, some to plant, some to counsel, some to serve. Amen. How many know this morning the anointing won't help you hit a golf ball? The anointing won't help you shoot a deer. Guys, I'm sorry to tell you, the anointing won't help you catch a fish. But what the anointing will help you do is accomplish your God-given purpose. It'll help you carry out what God has called you to do. I want to tell you this morning, the anointing can do what other things cannot do. When you don't know what to say, the anointing can give you the right words. When you don't know what to do, the anointing can show you the right path. When you don't have the strength to carry on, if you're tired, if you're weary, if you're running off of no sleep or running off of no energy, I can tell you through experience, the anointing can quicken your mortal body and help you be more than you could ever be on your own. I want to tell you this morning, the anointing is the Spirit, the very Spirit of God, working through mortal flesh, doing what flesh could never do on its own. I want to say that one more time. The anointing is the Spirit of God working through mortal flesh, doing what flesh could never do on its own. Why should I house the anointing? I'll tell you why, my friend. It's where the supernatural meets the natural. It's where the ordinary becomes extraordinary. It's where the weak becomes strong. It's the key to power. It's the key to discernment. And it's the key to holy living. I'll tell you this morning, it's the anointing of God on your life that makes the difference. I hope we get that deep in our spirit. You know, I pray all the time. I lead worship at our church. I pray all the time, God, help us be more than we could ever be on our own. Because, you know, we could give our best. But us on our own, we have a ceiling and we have a limit. We can only do so much. But I know in my heart that there's no limit to what a man and woman can do that's anointed by the Holy Spirit. There's no limit to what God can do in you and through you and what you can accomplish in your life when you're living under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And I'll tell you, one of the worst things I think that could be said, one of the worst things that could happen to us this morning is for God to call us to do something. We have an opportunity right in front of our face. Maybe it's to witness to somebody. Maybe it's to do something for His kingdom. God has placed a task right before us, but we haven't been living our life in such a way that welcomes the Holy Spirit. And we find that God's favor and His anointing isn't resting on our heart and our life. Thus, what we will find is we're not prepared for the task that God has for us. God forbid any of us ever get to that place. I want to challenge you this morning before I go on to this last point. I want to challenge you with this. Protect your anointing. What's the most valuable thing to you? Just think about that in your home. The most valuable thing in your home. I guarantee you, all of us, we have it locked away, probably in a safe. How many know it's not going to be in the yard for anybody it's not just going to be there for anybody just to take. I want to tell you this morning, the devil wants to rob you of your difference maker. The anointing on your life is your difference maker. I feel like there's my amen section back there. I feel like there's some saints of God over here. The anointing on your life is your difference maker. Somebody say, well, I want to make a difference. I'll tell you, it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life that is your difference maker. But one thing I know with all of my heart, the devil wants to rob you of that. So I want to encourage you and challenge you, my friends, protect the anointing on your life. Amen. God has anointed you for such a time as this. He wants to use men and women today to reach this world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Protect that anointing. Thank you, Jesus. I want to ask if the worship team would come. I want to go to this last question I like to answer. How can I house the anointing? This is a three-step easy process that I feel like all of us can take away this morning. How can I house the anointing? I'll tell you why. We have to believe, we have to desire, and we have to welcome. Believe, desire, and welcome. Number one, we have to believe He wants to anoint us. if you don't believe he wants to anoint you, he won't anoint you. How many know everything that happens in our Christian life is by faith? We are saved by what? Faith through grace, right? We are filled with the Holy Spirit by what? By faith. You want to be healed this morning? We're healed because we believe that he is our healer. I want to tell you this morning, you say, I want to be anointed. You got to believe and know with all of your heart that God wants to anoint you to carry out what he has called you to do. We got to believe it. Number two, we have to desire it. How many know nothing can happen in our life that we don't want? God only gives us as much of him as we want. There's anybody here that can say, God, I desire to have your anointing. I want it more than anything. There's nothing more valuable. I want it more than riches. I want it more than fame. I want it more than anything, more than homes, more than material things. There's anybody here that says, God, I desire your anointing. I want to tell you, he'll give you what you want. Amen. He'll give it to you. The third thing is, and as I alluded to earlier, welcome his anointing. Live your life in such a way that says, Jesus, you're welcome here. How many of you know if someone invites you to your house, you know if you're welcome or not by how, what? How they make you feel and how they treat you? I think there's some people that say, Jesus, you're welcome here, but they don't live their life in such a way that shows God that he's really welcome there. And I feel like a challenge for us all is this. Let's live our life in such a way that welcomes the Holy Spirit. I have a word that God gave me for this morning, for this congregation, and it's this. And I'm heading back to Oklahoma City. But what God wants me to tell you this morning is this. It's time for you to move forward in your anointing. God wants me to tell you this morning, it's time for you to move forward in your anointing. How many of you know you can't change the past? Ooh, it'd be pretty good if we could, wouldn't it? But God has great things in store for you. And he has a future for you. And he has a purpose for you. And it doesn't matter what season of life you're in. How many of you know there's something that we can all do for his kingdom? Amen. And I believe in my heart that he wants to use you at a greater capacity, and he wants to increase your platforms on every side. You know, David said in Psalms chapter 92, verse 10, he said, God, you have anointed me with the fresh oil. Not you've anointed me with the stale oil. Not you've anointed me with my 1995 anointing. God wants to anoint you 2024 fresh anointing. A fresh anointing for what he has for you. There's still work to be done. You know, the Bible says, what does he say? Occupy until he comes. Guess what? He's coming. But he ain't come just yet. And there's so many things for us all to do this morning. And I believe God wants to anoint us. So I want to have a two-part prayer this morning. There's two things I'd like for us to pray about. The first thing is this. If you're here this morning, you say, I want to be anointed with a fresh anointing. I want to pray for you. If you're here, you say, I want to be anointed with a fresh anointing. We're going to pray here in a minute. Or if you're also here this morning and you say, I feel like I could be doing a little bit better job hosting the very Spirit of God in my temple, in my house. I want to pray for you as well. Could we all stand together this morning? The worship team's going to sing whatever you guys feel led on your heart. Let's allow God to do whatever it is that he wants to do in this morning. If you want to pray at your seat, that's fine. If you want to come down to these altars, I'd love to pray with you. They're going to sing, we're going to worship, and then we're going to close in prayer. And let's allow the Holy Spirit to do whatever it is that he wants to do in this sanctuary.